But take advantage of the whole city. Go up to Hollywood, go see some shows, go down to the beach, get down to San Diego, go on the east side and eat some great Chinese food, check out downtown, the Fabric District, the Flower Market. There's just so much to do and see within the city. You could spend, every weekend doing something completely different and, with a completely different vibe.
Herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Folge von Beste Zeit, dem Podcast zum Auslandsstudium von und mit College Contact. Ich bin Alexandra Michel.
Und ich bin Elias Merkel.
Und gemeinsam sind wir die Gastgeber dieses Podcasts, mit dem wir euer Fernweh wecken und euch dabei unterstützen wollen, eure ganz eigene beste Zeit zu erleben. Sei es in Form eines Auslandssemesters, einer Summer School oder auch eines kompletten Studiums im Ausland.
Für unsere heutige Folge haben wir mit Emily Kirsch von der UCLA Extension gesprochen. Die UCLA Extension ist der Weiterbildungsarm der University of California, Los Angeles und damit verantwortlich für alle Studierenden, die nicht ihr komplettes Bachelor- oder Masterstudium an der UCLA absolvieren, sondern nur für einen kürzeren Zeitraum als sogenannte Non-Degree-Seeking-Students dort studieren. Hierzu gehören unter anderem auch Studierende, die im Rahmen des Study Abroad at UCLA-Programms für ein Auslandssemester oder Jahr nach Los Angeles kommen. Trotzdem könnt ihr während eurer Zeit an der UCLA natürlich ganz normale Bachelorkurse in vielen unterschiedlichen Fachrichtungen belegen. Ihr habt aber darüber hinaus auch die Möglichkeit, Kurse aus dem breiten Angebot der UCLA Extension zu wählen. Diese Kurse sind oftmals sehr praxisbezogen und somit eine spannende Ergänzung zu den theoretischeren Unikursen.
Zur University of California, Los Angeles selbst müssen wir wahrscheinlich gar nicht viel sagen. Die Uni zählt seit vielen Jahren zu den besten staatlichen Hochschulen in den USA und hat darüber hinaus einen der schönsten Unicampusse, den ich je gesehen habe. Der wiederum liegt in Westwood, einem der beliebtesten und studentischsten Viertel von Los Angeles, der absoluten Megacity im Westen der USA. Also, ihr seht schon, heute gibt es Superlative über Superlative. Deswegen würde ich auch sagen, wir spannen euch nicht weiter auf die Folter, sondern springen direkt rein in unser Gespräch mit Emily. Viel Spaß!
Hi, Emily. Thank you for joining our podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. So before we talk more about UCLA as an institution, we want to kick off the episode by learning a little bit more about yourself. So can you tell us what is your role at UCLA?
Of course, I'm the Director of International Relations and Partnerships here at UCLA Extension. So I'm responsible for managing all of our partner relations with our university partners, our agency partners. I'm responsible for setting our student enrollment plan, student recruitment. I'm also responsible for updating the website, communications, marketing, all sorts of things.
Lots of stuff. Yeah. Perfect. And so what do you like most about work at UCLA?
Yeah, I feel like this position really combines my passion for international education with just an amazing institution that has such a legacy of excellent academics and a great reputation. So combining both of those things has been a real treat. I also have an amazing team that I get to work with in the International Programs Office.
Great.
And that team will intersect with students that come and study with us. So great
nice.
Folks to work with and a great place to work.
Nice. So yeah, we're almost checked in, but one last question, and that is something we also asked Alex from the University of Winnipeg on last month's episode. So tell us something about yourself that often surprises people when they first hear about it.
Of course. So I'm actually heading to Rio de Janeiro for Carnival on Friday,
nice.
Which is 2 days from when we're filming this podcast. So I dance samba, and I'm fortunate enough to be able to dance on the Avenida this year. So we're going to be going down for about 2 weeks to dance in
nice.
Carnival in Rio.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. So I knew about that passion because we talked about this in the past, and I think it's a great opportunity. I mean, to go there and not just as a spectator, but to actually participate in the show.
Mm-hmm.
It must be
mm-hmm.
such an amazing experience. Have you been there
wonderful.
As a spectator, or
No, I've been fortunate enough to travel to Brazil for recruitment trips a few times, and just really fell in love with the country and the people. And I've always loved Brazilian music for as long as I can remember. I've been into Brazilian music, so I got into samba maybe 7 years ago, sort of random. But in the community I live in, we have a samba parade that's been going on for like 30 years, and so I've participated in the
Oh,
samba parade. But this last year has really been a deep dive into, really learning the technical aspects of samba and practicing my Portuguese, all in preparation to head down to Brazil on Friday. So I'll go for a vacation and then I'm heading there for work in a couple
wow.
months.
And I mean, Carnival in Rio is huge. Speaking of huge, we want to talk a little bit about Los Angeles, of course.
Of course.
That was an easy segue. So since we started our podcast 2 years ago, we have had quite a few guests from California, including some from the greater LA area. So we've had Cal State Northridge on the show. We've had Cal State Long Beach on the show. With Chris and Jazz, we've already talked a lot about Los Angeles as a mega city and all the positive and negative images that people associate with the city. Growing up in Northern California, what was your own personal image of Los Angeles?
That is a great question. And I think it's really evolved over the years as well. My mom actually grew up in Anaheim. And so her and my grandma and grandpa lived down there when she was in high school. And she liked to say she was in high school when the hippies were cool. So it was in the 70s. Both my mom and grandma worked at Disneyland. My mom worked at the Indiana Jones ride. So I had this kind of, I don't know, I had an image of Los Angeles and greater, Southern California area. From her, but we didn't travel much growing up, so I didn't have a chance to visit until high school, and I got to go to Disneyland, and it was so cool. But it wasn't until I started actually working in higher education and doing recruitment trips did I go down to Los Angeles and really spend a good chunk of time. I also have a really good friend that lives down there, so I've spent a lot of time with her. And I think what surprised me the most is while you look on a map and you just see this sprawling, huge city, it's really made up of many tiny cities and neighborhoods. There's Westwood, which we'll kind of get into later, where UCLA Extension and UCLA are located. Super walkable. It has more of a neighborhood feel. There's Venice, which kind of now has that hippie kind of feel. There's Santa Monica, and there's lots of hidden gems if you know where to find them. So I think that's what's surprising about Los Angeles is there's so much diversity, and each neighborhood can really be identified differently.
If I didn't know any better, I would think that you listened to the episode we recorded with Jazz from Northridge, because that is exactly what we
Oh,
talked about.
I haven't.
Because I think I asked her about the size of the city, and I actually said, well, a lot of students might just feel a little overwhelmed coming to Los Angeles, and if she had any advice for our students, and she said it really is a city of neighborhoods, and you really need to think about Los Angeles not as kind of this huge metropolis, but as kind of your own neighborhood, and then the adjacent neighborhoods and the places that you go, and within those little neighborhoods, you actually know your neighbors. You know the cashier at the grocery store and all these kinds of things. So, that's been your impression as well, going down there more.
Exactly. That's exactly. Yep. And thinking about, what I wanted to share about the Westwood neighborhood in preparation for this podcast, it's all, similar things. It's really, once you kind of settle down in an area, you get to know your local coffee shop, the local bookstore, your, grocery store. You get to know the community that you are based in.
Right, perfect. Would you agree that your day-to-day experience in LA very much depends on where you live and what your neighborhood looks like?
I agree. I think that's true. And, you know, LA can be a commuter city. Folks often will live one place and drive to where they work. I think for the students that come and spend a short period of time at UCLA Extension, it benefits them to, you know, if they can, to live closer to campus, because then they can really have that experience of getting to know the neighborhood. But certainly where a student lives and where a resident lives will affect their day-to-day experience. And it kind of depends on what they're looking for. If they're looking for more of a city downtown vibe, then maybe downtown LA is a good choice for them. If they're going for more of that traditional surfer, beacher, you know, beachy vibe, maybe Santa Monica is where they want to stay. I was actually just down there recently and we had a staff retreat with our international programs team at Extension. And I said, if I were a neighborhood in LA, what would I be? And everybody's like, Silver Lake. It's kind of hipster. And I said, I don't think that's where my good friend lives.
That is a really good check-in question. I have to remember that for another kind of check-in situation. Totally. This is really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
You already mentioned Westwood a couple of minutes ago. So Westwood is the neighborhood that is kind of right next to the UCLA campus, which is, I mean, so big that it could be a neighborhood of its own. But that's another story. But what can you tell us about Westwood? What is Westwood like?
Yeah, it's really one of the best neighborhoods in Los Angeles. It's bordered by Beverly Hills to the east, Century City to the southeast. And it's, like you said, it's just south of UCLA. So it really, Westwood Village really has the feel of a college town. You know, I talked about LA being a kind of a commuter city where folks drive. It's not the most walkable city, but Westwood is pretty walkable. It's accessible by bike. You know, there's tons of restaurants, coffee shops, and parks. And on the weekends, residents from, you know, all of Los Angeles come over to Westwood to enjoy all the restaurants, shopping, entertainment. My favorite foodie destination, you know, I'm a big foodie. So when I go to LA, I'm always scouting out good restaurants to eat.
Okay.
I really like downtown for like some of the newer places, which is easily accessible from over by UCLA. But Westwood really is right up there as well. There's brunch spots, breweries, coffee shops, specialty places. There's some of the must visits. There's a cafe called Mary and Rob's Westwood Cafe, and it was a soda counter in the 1950s, but now it's just a super homey, cozy, family style coffee shop and restaurant. Has really traditional American style food. They have a great breakfast burrito that has tater tots in it, if you're getting really American with it. There's also great, there's a place called Atari Girl that has really great Persian sandwiches, really nice outdoor
patio. I heard
patio.
About that one. Yeah,
really fantastic. And then one of the famous ones is Diddy Reese Cookies, which has been around for 35 years. And we actually send our students there on a scavenger hunt during orientation. So if you're listening, now you have a clue. You're going to the cookie shop. And they have famous ice cream sandwich cookies for like, it's like $2.50.
Okay.
And there's usually like a line out the door, but it moves pretty quickly. And then there's a great coffee shop, Espresso for Profeta, that has like nice kind of fancy coffee drinks, outdoor patio. It's all leafy. So there's just, and that's just like to name a couple, there's a ton of amazing places to eat and drink. In the quieter parts of Westwood, it really feels like living in a suburb, you know, but instead of being an hour away from everything, you're like 5 to 10 minutes. You're 20 minutes to Santa Monica, you're 20 minutes to downtown. This is all depending on traffic. So you get the advantage of living in the city, but, you know, without all of the craziness. Westwood is also home to LA's some of their best art museums. There's the Hammer Museum that's part of UCLA. Admission is free. It has everything from Monet to modern art, film screenings. I was just looking at their schedule. They have meditation classes, art talks. If you like theater, live theater, the Geffen Playhouse is in Westwood. And then if you're like looking up photos of Westwood, you'll usually see a big white tower. That's the Fox Theater, which is a historic landmark cinema. And it plays, you know, all the new blockbusters, and students get a discount. And then, of course, you know, if Westwood's not enough for you, you're just within shooting distance from Santa Monica, Rodeo Drive, Bel Air. You know, you can get to the other parts of Los Angeles really easily. And there's actually a bus that takes you right from in front of our UCLA Extension building directly to Santa Monica in 20 minutes. So that's a lot of students to choose to live in that area as well.
Great. Now I have itchy feet. to go to LA again.
I know.
And I'm getting hungry. Yeah. So like, thank you. Thank you, Emily.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, let's move along and talk a little bit about UCLA as an institution. And let's start with the name. It's part of the UC or the University of California system. Can you explain to our audience what this means and perhaps how UCs differ from other public universities in California?
Yeah, so in California, there's three distinct public university systems, the UCs, University of California, the CSUs, California State Universities, and our community colleges, of course. The community colleges take students through their first 2 years of an undergraduate degree or a bachelor's degree. The CSUs most often offer bachelor's degree and some master's degrees. Some of them offer EdDs. And then the UCs tend to be a little bit more focused on research, also offering bachelor's, master's, and PhDs. So that's a brief introduction to the system. Now, UCLA is one of the top-ranked public universities in the world, and we're the largest of the 10 campuses in the UC system.
So Emily, you mentioned that UCLA is one of the best public universities in the world. What are some of the current ranking results internationally, if you can share them?
Of course. UCLA performs well in all of the national and international rankings of both public and private universities, including U.S. News and World Report, where we're the number one public university and ranked 20th among all national universities. We also have award-winning professors who take a lot of pride in their research and their teaching. We've had 15 Nobel laureates, 13 MacArthur Fellows, 9 National Medal of Science winners, and 3 Pulitzer Prize winners. And that's just among some of our other prestigious awards.
Wow. Yeah. And these are both researchers and professors who actually teach at UCLA?
That's correct.
Oh, that's pretty great accolades.
Amazing, yeah.
So... The study abroad at UCLA program that we're going to talk about in a minute is organized and run by UCLA Extension, which is the continuing and professional education division of the university. Why is that, and how does that affect our students?
Yeah, I'm happy to share a little bit about the difference between UCLA main campus and UCLA Extension and how our study abroad at UCLA students fit in and kind of what kind of classes they can take. So UCLA Extension, like you said, it's the continuing education arm of the UCLA main campus. And we offer undergraduate and post-baccalaureate courses that are really kind of career focused. They're taught by industry experts, and it provides an opportunity for international students that are here for short term to study with working professionals, really focus on that practical application and hands-on experience. The UCLA main campus courses, of course, are available to our study abroad students in a select number of departments. These are undergraduate courses taught by UCLA professors. Full degree students are the ones that are enrolled at the UCLA main campus, but our study abroad at UCLA program that is run through Extension gives those study abroad students that are here for a short period of time access to some of the main campus classes. So it essentially allows them to have that UCLA campus experience as a visiting student, even though they're still considered non-degree students. Our study abroad at UCLA students can take classes from a variety of programs. They can take classes in the School of Arts and Architecture, School of Education, Information Studies, Management, Music, and the School of Public Affairs. They just have to meet all of the prerequisites and restrictions. So there's some additional hoops to jump through for them to take classes on the main campus, but it's a great experience. Students, when they come on this program, they can choose to either take all Extension classes, so they can choose from our wide variety of programs in UCLA Extension. They can choose to take all classes at UCLA main campus, of course, providing that they meet the prerequisites and they can get into those classes, or they can take a mix of both. So it's a great opportunity for them to experience kind of life at UCLA in a really traditional undergraduate classroom setting with UCLA professors, in combination, or, you know, they can choose either or, with the Extension classes that are really practically and career focused.
Right. So it basically depends on the area also in which they would like to study. So those areas that are off limits on campus, they might find extension courses there. And then other areas that maybe extension doesn't offer, they can take on the main campus.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it really depends on their course of study.
I have one more follow-up question, though. So our students, even though they are degree-seeking students at their home university, so they're all studying towards a bachelor's degree or a master's degree, they are considered non-degree students at UCLA because they're not at UCLA to obtain a degree. So
that's exactly right.
Okay.
Yeah,
because that's sometimes a bit confusing to our students.
Yeah, so that totally makes sense. Exactly. They're doing a study abroad experience, and the program offered through Extension allows them to be a visiting student at the UCLA main campus.
Okay, sounds good.
Right, right. You talked a little bit about the international reputation and also the academic rigor at UCLA. And I feel like some students who are listening to this episode might be wondering whether it's difficult to be admitted into the study abroad program. Can you give us a quick overview of the admission requirements?
Of course, I'd be happy to. So we have kind of two tiers for the study abroad at UCLA program. For students who only want to take UCLA extension classes, we require English proficiency, and that can be TOEFL of 80, IELTS 6.5. We accept Duolingo of 105 as well. If students have are enrolled in an academic institution where their primary language of instruction is English, then we accept that as proof of English proficiency as well. Then we also require a 2.5 equivalent US GPA on either high school or college coursework. If students want to take courses at the UCLA main campus, then they need to meet a higher English proficiency requirement, which is required by main campus. So that's a TOEFL of 100, IELTS of 7, Duolingo 120. The GPA requirement also gets bumped up a little bit as well, 3.0 on a 4.0 scale, or the equivalent. The academics, you know, yeah, you're right. UCLA has high academic standards. Our students usually are successful. The students who are serious about studying are going to do well. We also want students to come on this program and, you know, do well in their coursework, but also experience all that campus has to offer. Students typically take three classes each quarter. So we recommend, you know, sticking to those three classes so they can perform well, but also, you know, experience all of the culture and make sure to have some fun while they're here as well.
So you mentioned that students take three courses per quarter. That might be something that we should touch upon really quickly because it's a bit unique or different to most of our other partner universities. You're not on a semester schedule, so you don't have a fall semester and a spring semester, but you have quarters, right?
So yeah, that's been my biggest challenge is learning to say quarter instead of semester.
So can you run us through the quarters? So you have fall quarter, which starts in late September and ends right before Christmas.
That's right. Yep. And then we have winter, which starts early January and ends typically toward the end of March. Our spring quarter starts beginning of April. Sometimes it falls right at the end of the March, but this spring it's starting April 3rd and it goes through mid-June. Summer starts end of June and then goes through the mid-September, bringing us right back to fall.
Right. I think that is something that is actually really beneficial to a lot of our students because, as you know, the German system and the German academic year schedule, it's very different to the American schedule. So we typically have classes starting later in the fall, and then exams typically happen in January, sometimes extending into February. So that makes it hard for students to start to study abroad in the U.S. In the spring semester that typically starts in early to mid-January. But the spring quarter is actually a really, really good fit for our students because, as you said, it starts at the end of March, which is quite similar actually to our spring semester as well. And then it ends in June, which means that students still have a lot of time until they have to be back at university at home. And the visa regulations allow them to travel for up to 60 days after the program. So it means they can basically spend all of July and most of August in California or anywhere else in the US before they head home. So I think the spring quarter is probably our most popular typically because it's such a good fit. So I think this is something that's really a unique aspect. And I think it's the only university in the greater LA area that we work with that runs on a quarter system. Maybe UC Santa Barbara up there, but it's a little further, of course, from LA. But yeah, so that's cool.
Yeah, great. That timing works out great. Yep. And then you can't say no to 60 days. And I'd advocate, I know you can go to other places in the US. I'd advocate for like a really in-depth California road trip.
Right. And I mean, it's July and August. And during that time, even Northern California is warm and summery.
Yeah,
<that's
accurate. laughs> yeah, you got to come
so this
to
is
the
really cool. Yeah. No, it's just because a lot of times, typically when students go in the fall, of course, they are 60 days fall. Into kind of mid-December until mid-February. And there's a lot of places that are exciting in the US, but that you don't really want to visit in January, like Chicago, New York. Yeah. It's just really chilly, especially this year. So so this is really cool. I had one more question about courses, because we often have students who study business and economics. And I know that during the study abroad at UCLA program, students cannot take undergraduate business courses at main campus. Would business students still find suitable courses at UCLA Extension, for example?
Definitely. Our most robust offering, well, we have two really at UCLA Extension. One is in business, and then the second is, of course, entertainment studies. You know, we're in Hollywood, so we have to have great entertainment studies options for our students. But we have many certificates in all sorts of areas in business, including entrepreneurship, international trade and commerce, marketing, leadership, real estate, project management. It's pretty in depth in the business area, so they can find kind of general studies, but also more niche and specific to the field of interest that they might have through extension courses.
And you would say that the courses taught at Extension, they're a little more applied and a little more kind of practically focused than some of the main campus courses. So I would assume that the professors, especially in the entertainment programs, they are entertainment professionals. So they are not just kind of teaching from the books, but they're teaching from experience.
That's exactly right. Yeah. In marketing, for example, you're going to have a chief marketing officer teaching your course and telling you what you actually need to do to get a job and succeed in that field. Same for entertainment studies. All of the faculty and instructors are they're immersed in the field. They have those connections to the industry. And so they're teaching the students the skills that they need to know to succeed in their chosen area of study.
Okay, fantastic. So we already mentioned that that Los Angeles is huge, and the same holds true with regard to UCLA. I said before, it's almost like a neighborhood of its own. How do you ensure that students not only find their way around, I mean, a map will help, but also make friends and learn about all of the opportunities available to them during their time at UCLA?
Of course. For our study abroad at UCLA students, the first week we do a really comprehensive orientation week. I already gave you one of the answers to the scavenger hunt with the ice cream sandwich place, Diddy Rees. We also send them to find Marilyn Monroe's grave, and we send them all around campus to kind of get their bearings, and we end with a big pizza party.
Marilyn Monroe's grave is on the UCLA campus?
It's not on the UCLA campus, but it's in a cemetery that's right nearby. It's a beautiful cemetery. And students often will like walk through it. But yes, they go find there's other famous people that are buried there as well. And then we send them to find the cat that hangs out at Powell Library. So we start them off really getting to know campus and the Westwood Village through a scavenger hunt. And it helps them get to know each other, right? They're all freshly landed, new in Los Angeles. Maybe it's the first time in the United States, so it gives them a great opportunity to connect. We do So we do fun activities. We do the scavenger hunt. We do a beach day, take them out to Venice Beach. We take them up for a hike of the Hollywood sign. But through all of that, we're teaching them how to use public transportation. We're teaching them how to use the metro, how to get a tap card. We help them get their student ID. We help set them up with the library. We show them where the recreation center is and how they can access those facilities. Mm-hmm. So we try to start them off on the right foot, giving them an opportunity to connect, you know, with other international students, but also make friends on UCLA main campus by asking them for all the hints to the scavenger hunt. And often, so we do activities throughout the quarter. Like we take them paddleboarding out on Marina Del Rey. We organize groups to go to some of the sporting events, like basketball in the spring is coming up, March Madness, or gymnastics, or the football is obviously one of the big athletic draws for our students. You know, the students really go all out, especially if there's a game against our big rival, the University of Southern California. There's a big blood drive before every UCLA-USC game called Let the Red Out. So you can donate all your clothing. The red is the color of USC, so you donate all your red clothing. You can get a blue UCLA t-shirt in exchange. So we organize some activities, but we also find that like students make friends really quickly, and they definitely come and do our activities, but they've already made friends. They're doing things with their classmates that they've met, you know, in their on-campus classes. So they get integrated really quickly. There's also a couple other ways they can get involved beyond the classroom. Students can do all of the clubs on campus. There's no restrictions to access to the clubs for our students on the study abroad program. They can also access intramural sports. You know, there's the traditional basketball, there's softball, there's also cornhole, there's Quidditch, there's football, ultimate frisbee. Yeah. So they can get involved in clubs, in sports, and they can really find like their niche. It's kind of how we talked about LA. It's such a huge city. You can kind of find your neighborhood that best fits you. Same with the opportunities on campus. There's sporting events for depending on what you're interested in. There's clubs depending on what you're interested in, if it's something more academic or something more social, something, you know, based on your religion or your heritage. It's really something available for everyone. It's just about, you know, making use of it, going out and finding those opportunities. But we provide all the resources and make those available to the students.
Do you have a club fair at the beginning of each quarter where all the clubs have their tables out and things like that, and there's free pizza and all these kinds of things?
Exactly. Yeah. Actually, last time I was on campus, there was a fair going on, and there was definitely free pizza, but I was not the intended audience, so I did not partake.
Ah, okay. Well, you could be an extension student doing professional education. So. Yeah. All right, cool.
So yeah, it seems like there's lots of stuff to do on campus. Just, I'm really curious, because one of the things we always hear from students, from our students, but I think it's sort of a well-known fact all across the U.S. that the UCLA campus is supposed to be really, really beautiful. I don't know if you can speak a little bit to that. What's your impression of it?
Yeah, it's really got that like traditional campus feel. There's a beautiful botanical garden on campus. There's a sculpture garden. There's Royce Hall, which is the iconic building you'll see when you look at pictures of UCLA, beautiful brick buildings. It's a beautiful campus. It feels very park-like. Students call their time, you know, at UCLA, they call it their vacation paradise away from home. Got great weather. It's just... It's really wonderful. It's, you know, everything you hear about living in Southern California, it really does hold true. Yeah. Beautiful sunny
sky.
And
it is a lot of walking. It's a lot of walking. It's a lot of stairs.
Yes.
Up and down the stairs. So you get your steps in.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a large campus from north to south. Our extension buildings, if students take classes at extension, are kind of on the south part of campus, tucked within Westwood Village. So if students are like living within Westwood, then extension's super accessible. But yeah, if you're taking on-campus classes, you're doing some good walking to get up there. But it's gorgeous. You can enjoy it while you're taking classes.
You just mentioned it. Do you have an on-campus accommodation for study abroad students as well? Or if not, where do study abroad students typically live while studying at UCLA?
Yeah, so there's unfortunately not on-campus accommodation for study abroad students, but we have comprehensive resources on our website, uclaextension.edu/housing. We'll take students to a comprehensive list of homestays, dormitory-style apartments, furnished apartments for short-term stays. Students typically live in Westwood. They typically don't have a car. They make use of, ride-sharing apps like Uber and Lyft, public transportation, scooters, some biking. There are also some Facebook groups for students to connect with other students to find housing. We don't necessarily moderate it, so we don't have involvement in it, but students make use of that resource to look for roommates and for housing. Another note on housing, if students are coming and they maybe are coming with like someone else from their home institution or area, we recommend don't live with them. We really want students to get the opportunity to be pushed out of their comfort zone. It magnifies the opportunities and really diversifies like what they'd normally be doing when students, don't live with students from their home institution or home country. So if you're listening and you're coming with a friend, you can still hang out, but find a roommate
you're
or
allowed
a living
to meet
situation.
Up. Yeah.
Exactly.
And if you both live in different apartments with different roommates, that already means you have a lot of new friends. So
exactly. Yeah, your network's just getting bigger. And that's just another note for this experience and really for any study abroad experience. It's what you make of it and it's what you put into it. But this is, such a fantastic opportunity to spend time at, this amazing institution. And just try to take advantage of anything that comes your way. Network, look for volunteer opportunities, get involved in a club, do some of the sporting activities I mentioned, do all of the free activities in your local area, make connections with your professors, with your other classmates, because you never know where it might lead. So just, seize the opportunity when you're at UCLA Extension.
Yeah, that's really great advice. That our podcast is called Beste Zeit in German, which roughly translates to time of your life. And it basically refers to students coming back. And the one thing almost everybody writes in their testimonials is like, my study abroad semester was the best time either of my studies or even the best time of my life. What kind of student, in your opinion, would have the time of his or her life at UCLA? What type of student thrives there?
Yeah. I think it's a student who has some flexibility, who is excited about their time, potentially living in California, is excited about that prospect, looking forward to experiencing the beach and all that LA has to offer, that's looking for diversity in experiences and interactions and people. But I think someone with an open mind that really wants to take advantage of everything that's available at UCLA in Los Angeles.
Cool. I think a lot of the students that we work with fit that profile. So, so UCLA should be a good fit for many. So the one thing you didn't mention is like academically strong or academically minded. Would you say that's kind of just a given because of the type of institution that UCLA is?
Yes, that's very accurate. Especially if students want to take classes on main campus, you got to be ready for that academic rigor that comes with taking classes with all of the amazing students that are studying for their degrees at UCLA.
Right. Because maybe we can briefly touch upon this. Admission rates for degree programs at UCLA. So for students coming in, like even domestic Californian students coming in to UCLA, it's like, I don't know if you know it off the top of your head, but what was the admission rate last year? It must be
last
under 10%.
Year,
it's like 5 to 8% or something, 10.8. Okay, so that means of 100 students applying to study a bachelor's degree at UCLA, 90 of them don't get in. So being able to come as a study abroad student means that you are going to study with kind of the top of the class. Exactly. I mean, it's a lot of students who basically have graduated top of their class at high school. Those are really kind of academically minded, bright students. So taking courses alongside them is going to be not only challenging, but also really stimulating if you're interested in your field of studies, because you're with a lot of students who are also really focused on getting a great education.
That's accurate. And you can feel that like energy and that prestige when you're on campus. It just kind of resonates, you know, the big UCLA signs and just the energy of the students. It just has a feeling. You're like, you feel like you're somewhere that, you know, you just feel like you're somewhere that is important.
Right.
And you get to be part of it. It's really cool.
Right. And I mean, that really is a privilege, right? Mm. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
It's such a privilege. Sure. And for international students, the admission rates are even lower because as a public institution, UCLA mainly serves the domestic and especially the Californian population. So admission rates for international students are even way below those 10.8%. So it's really coming as a study abroad student is a once in a lifetime opportunity to experience studying at UCLA. So similar to some of the other UCs that we work with, it's a very, very kind of competitive environment in terms of getting in. But yeah, so I think that was just good to point that out again.
Cool. Definitely. Thank you.
Great.
All right. Then now I think the time has come for one segment of our podcast. Exactly. That, I mean, that segment, I know Alex and I always look forward to it.
And there must be a food question somewhere in there.
So
So it's our this or that question segment. So basically where we ask you a series of this or that questions, which we want you to answer spontaneously. These obviously aren't supposed to be tough or difficult questions to answer. Well, let's see. Also please feel free to give some context to your answers. All right, Emily, let's start off. Yoga at Venice Beach or hiking in the Hollywood Hills?
That's a really hard one. I think Venice Beach just has such a unique atmosphere. And I really kind of like dig the hippie vibes. There's a really good restaurant over there there's a Moon Juice, which has kind of adaptogenic herbs and smoothies. And then I could totally see that going with a great yoga session, but the views up in the Hollywood Hills really can't be beat. That's a really hard one. Maybe the hike, if I could bring my dog.
And then you can do yoga at the top of the hill.
There we go.
There we go. Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Let's move along then. Breakfast burrito or overnight oats?
I'm more of a savory breakfast person. And I think a California breakfast burrito just really cannot be beat. And I know I mentioned a breakfast burrito earlier.
You mentioned the one with the tater tots.
Stay on trend here. One,
That one already sounded great. Yeah.
I know.
And the next one you already mentioned as well. So we're good.
Did I?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we're good. Yeah.
So Universal Studios or Disneyland?
Oh, yeah. Disneyland, you know, it's the family heritage.
Yeah,
Mom
you
working
touched
at Indiana
on that.
Jones.
Yeah.
And Disneyland. Yeah, yeah. Can't miss it when you're studying at UCLA. Except.
True, true. All right. And then the last one is best place to run into a celebrity at The Grove or Rodeo Drive?
You know, I think that's a good question, too. Because Rodeo Drive definitely, you know, there's a touristy component to it also. Mm. I feel like The Grove, it might be a little bit more lower key. Like you might have to, you know, they might be a little bit more incognito. I've actually run into Gwyneth Paltrow at a workout class in Brentwood, which is right near Westwood.
Oh,
and she was just like getting her workout on. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, be cool. But I've definitely seen... you know, I've seen celebrities like out eating brunch and things. So I feel like going for the more casual option and like giving them their space, like everyone's, you know, they're people too. So that's kind of the general vibe.
So who was the coolest person you've run into so far?
I love Gwyneth Paltrow. I love her cookbooks. So that was, I already started out the gate with that one, but that would have to be it.
So just for the record, best place to run into a celebrity, it's more likely to see someone at the Grove than at Rodeo Drive, right?
Yeah, I think so. And just really like being out and about and like keeping your eyes open. You just never know who you could see.
Okay, perfect. And I feel like, the Grove is the place where I would have more fun as well. It's got a nice farmer's market.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But also the area around the Grove is really nice. So it's kind of the West Hollywood area. It's like really, really nice.
I love that area. Yeah. Our students love going out in that area too, and great restaurants. And
Yeah, that's another really cool neighborhood. There's also a lot of really cool kind of improv theaters. Mm-hmm. So those are really cool. And it's quite easy to get tickets. And then a couple of years later, you'll see them on kind of the big TV shows. So it's exactly. really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that maybe is also – go ahead. But that's also something that I think a lot of our students want to do when they're in LA is get tickets to like a show that's being recorded. So that's what a lot of students do. And you need to take advantage of the proximity of the studios up in Burbank. And
exactly. Yep. Yeah. Just make the most of it. It can be easy to kind of, I think, you know, just going back to how we were talking about Los Angeles is made up of all those different little neighborhoods. It can be easy to really kind of get stuck into the location you're living, but take advantage of the whole city. Go up to Hollywood, go see some shows, go down to the beach, get down to San Diego, you know, go on the east side and eat some great Chinese food, check out downtown, the Fabric District, the Flower Market. You know, there's just so much to do and see within the city. You could spend, you know, every weekend doing something completely different. And you know, with a completely different vibe.
That's so cool. So if you can stay for more than just one quarter.
Oh yeah. And take advantage of that grace period.
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool.
All right. Awesome. I think that's it. Thank you so much for coming on, Emily.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, also from my side, it's been really great talking to you. And I think we got a lot of insights into not only UCLA, but also Los Angeles. And I definitely have to kind of listen to the podcast when it's been published and just write down all of the tips and recommendations you had for food spots and things like that. So this is really fantastic. Thank you so much. And have a fantastic time in Brazil.
Ah, thank you. I'm excited.
And yeah, and take care.
Thank
Good to see you.
Bye, Emily. Bye. Weißt du, was mir bei dieser Folge wieder bewusst geworden ist?
Dass du auch mal wieder Lust auf 25 Grad und Sonne hättest.
Das auch, aber vor allem, dass Los Angeles zu den Städten gehört, die man gar nicht oft genug besuchen kann. Die Stadt ist einfach so groß und so vielfältig, dass man bei jedem Besuch immer nur einen kleinen Ausschnitt davon mitbekommt. Oder kanntest du zum Beispiel vor der Folge heute den Stadtteil Silver Lake, von dem Emily gesprochen hat?
Nee, tatsächlich nicht. Den muss ich aber gleich mal googeln.
Mach das mal. Ich gucke mir dann parallel die ganzen Cafés und Restaurants an, die Emily erwähnt hat.
Alles klar. Falls ihr jetzt auch Lust bekommen habt, die vielen verschiedenen Facetten von Los Angeles zu entdecken und gleichzeitig an einer der besten Hochschulen des Landes zu studieren, dann schaut doch am besten gleich einmal in die Shownotes zu dieser Folge. Ihr findet dort einen Link zum Hochschulprofil der UCLA Extension und zu den Erfahrungsberichten ehemaliger Study Abroad at UCLA TeilnehmerInnen. Außerdem findet ihr in den Shownotes natürlich unsere Kontaktdaten. Wenn ihr Fragen zur UCLA Extension habt oder euch vielleicht auch erst einmal ganz allgemein über die Möglichkeiten eines Auslandssemesters in Kalifornien informieren möchtet, ruft uns einfach an oder schreibt uns. Wie für all unsere Partnerhochschulen mit Semesterprogrammen haben wir auch für die UCLA Extension eine ausführliche Bewerbungsanleitung mit vielen Infos zum Programm und Tipps zur Bewerbung zusammengestellt. Die Anleitungen könnt ihr kostenlos bei uns anfordern.
Kostenlos ist übrigens auch unser gesamter Beratungs- und Bewerbungsservice, da wir von unseren Partnerhochschulen für unsere Arbeit bezahlt werden. In unserer nächsten Folge geht's nach langer Zeit endlich wieder mal nach Australien, genauer gesagt nach Adelaide. Dann werden wir nämlich Kat Della Flora von der University of South Australia zu Gast haben. Da Elias und ich beide selbst noch nicht in Adelaide waren, sind wir auf dieses Gespräch ganz besonders gespannt. Aber bis dahin sagen wir erst einmal vielen Dank fürs Zuhören und wünschen euch eine gute Zeit.